Very good words, you guys.
Thank you for that, Jason.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Yay. Hi, everyone. I'm going to have Cece come up here. But as you're kind of getting your stuff ready, I just wanted to give you guys an update. People are asking kind of what's going on with the Bishop campus. And we have a prophetic word and just a deep desire to establish a dream center in Bishop and to build something that we would be an outreach center so we could begin to really minister to the lost, the broken, the hurting, the down and out, and just be a light in a dark time. Amen. And so we started just kind of giving this word and putting it out there. We haven't done like a huge campaign for it or anything. And just in, you know, a couple months' time, there's about 15,000 that's come in right from this little group here. So I just want to thank you for that. And it's been pretty awesome. So we need 50,000 for a down payment to get into that building so we can begin to soak it in prayer and anoint the building, anoint the walls, and just let Jesus have his way. Amen. So, but I just wanted to thank you for everybody that has sown. And if you want to sow into this dream, just make checks out to Church of the Mountain, and then in the memo just put Bishop, either Bishop Campus or Bishop Dream Center, and it's going to be awesome. It's for his glory. Amen? Yeah. Awesome. And so I'm excited. You may have seen Cece here last week, and she's got to hang out in Crowley for a week, and I just love her ministry. We met in 2003 in China, and she was in China for 20 something years, a long time, and just ministering to children, to orphans, to kids that were just broken and lost. And so I got to go there as I was on my way to Mongolia. We hung out, me and Rob. We were there for a couple weeks and just got to minister to the kids and do a bunch of ministry. And I was just so, the ministry was amazing. And the impact that you are making in communist China was incredible. So she's been back in the States for 14 months. And so I just wanted to let her give an update on what's happening. And she's got some amazing stuff back here that she sells right from the hands of amazing people in China.
We're not live, are we, on Facebook? Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. It's so good to be here. You know, and I was driving up from Las Vegas, and I just felt like the closer I got, the more excited I was to just come here and to be with all of you and Joyce, of course. And then when I walked in last week, somebody said, "Welcome home." And I just thought, you know, that's how I feel. I feel like you're my home in my heart. It's been a long, very long 14 months. For those of you who don't know, February 2nd, 2020, I left my home in Beijing to come to California for a couple weeks and go to a conference and have a rest and have a good time. And, you know, I got here to America and China just shut down. They just shut down city by city. And all of the people I work with, Michael mentioned, I lead a ministry for rescuing street children and women, and everybody just became locked in their homes. And so as I got to about 3 weeks here, I kind of checked with some people, and I said, I don't know if I should go home yet. Maybe I should just stay a little longer. So we decided, you know, even if I went home, I'd be locked in my house, and that wasn't good. So I stayed a little longer, and March 22nd, I think, I woke up, and I just had this impending on my heart. I just thought, I need to go home. And I packed my bags, and I arranged my plane ticket to leave the next night. And a friend drove me to the airport in San Francisco, and I got to the airport, and they wouldn't let me on the plane. And they just began telling me, you know, the borders were closed, are closing. And as I stood there in the airport, they were just closing around the world. And I said, you don't understand. I need to go home. I need to get home. And anyway, they wouldn't let me on the plane. I called one of my guys in China, and I said, Josiah, I'm at the airport. Get me on a plane. Do whatever you can. Call everybody we know. Get me on a plane. And so he tried for about 30 minutes, and he came back, and he said, there's nothing I can do. I cannot get you on a plane. The borders are closed in Hong Kong. They're closed in China. And I was just missing the border closure in Hong Kong by like 1 hour. And so I was trying to explain to the airline, I will just go from one airplane to the other. I will not stay. I promise. I won't even breathe when I get there, you know. I'll just pass so fast, you know. I won't breathe. I'll wear a mask. I'll wear two if you like. I'll just run. No, they just wouldn't let me. And finally Josiah said, he said, do you know there is a virus going around? And I said, I know. Get me home. And he said, where are you right now? And I said, I'm in California. And he said, I have been locked in a house with these two old women who work for me. You just stay there and enjoy running around in California. And so I got back in the car and I went back to Reading, and I was just numb. I thought, this has never happened to me before in my life. And I'm sure the last 14 months, we probably all feel like that. You know, this has never happened to America before, that we've shut down a country. And, well, you know, the Nevadans, they won't stay put. So, you know, they're cowboys. They kept their churches open, and despite the governor, and we're not on Facebook. We can talk about this, right? You know, they refused to wear masks. They got out their guns, and, you know, the Nevadans, bless them. Amen. So I was in Reno, Reading, for 4 months. Then I went down to Reno and hung out with all the cowboys, and because all their churches are open. And went to Vegas for a few months, and now I've come back to visit you, and I'm going back to Reno for a few months. I don't know when I can go home. And the borders from China to America are still closed. They let other people in with few exceptions. For me, they haven't let me in. So, but I wanted to share a little bit of what's happening with the rest of my clan, not just me. One of my boys, Josiah, he grew up in my school. I don't know if you remember Josiah, but I know he remembers you. Josiah and a couple other of my young men from our school opened a restaurant in a little city called Wuhan. And you might be familiar with it. There's a little virus that started there. But they opened their restaurant almost a year ago. And they have the number one hamburger and steak in all of Wuhan. And we want to welcome you all to come to Wuhan. Don't be afraid. We walk on water, right? So we walk with Jesus. We're no fear, just like we prayed this morning. There's no fear. We just walk on water. So come on to Wuhan. They opened the restaurant, and then they had to shut down in January. They've reopened. They're doing well. Number one hamburger, number one steak, and probably some other Chinese food. But 2 years ago, and I don't remember if I shared this when I was here 2 years ago, but a few years ago we started a workshop making bags, as many of you know. And God opened the door and put on our hearts to take in single moms. And it just seems that a lot of the women we work with are single moms. And so our workshop became a women's shelter for the women who need help, who need a place, a safe place to come. And 2 years ago, we outgrew our workshop. And we came to a point where it was like, I don't know what we should do. Everything else in Beijing seemed too expensive, too small. we looked at other options, and we took a giant step of faith and moved our workshop outside of Beijing. And that was January of 2019. And so for 2019, we spent most of the year readjusting to life outside of Beijing. And it's far enough away that I take an all-night bus to the new workshop. God gave us a building about four times the size of what we had for about 70% cheaper. Amen? So we kind of just went into it with a lot of prayer and a lot of faith and a giant step of faith and said, what have we got to lose? If we fall, we fall. God will catch us. But if we fly, we fly with Jesus. So we put forth, we started, got readjusted to everything in this other little town. Because I'm not able to be there 24/7, that gave room for one of our young women to grow up and become the supervisor. In 2019, she was the supervisor. She covered, taught all the young women who came into our center how to work. Our experts do most of the work, and then they train the other women how to work with them. So, you know, 2019, we could feel the presence of the Lord, not really knowing why we moved out of Beijing, except the finances were better. But then, at the end of 2019, that little virus hit, and it shut down the country. So all of our people were at home, at their father's home, and that's the culture. By Chinese New Year, they go to their father's home, and I won't go into all those details. But they were at their homes with their in-laws and whoever, and they were locked in. Well, when I couldn't go back, March 23rd, March 25th, the doors in the rural parts of China reopened. And Naomi is our young supervisor who's become our manager. She snuck back into the village. She checked on the workshop. Everything was fine. She went to check with the village leader. When can we come back to our place? He said, as long as you have a health check, make sure you're not bringing the virus in, you can come back. March 25th, our workshop reopened. If we had stayed in Beijing, we'd still be closed today. But because we heard the Lord and moved in faith and took a step of faith and a huge risk and put everything in his hands in January of that year, the year before, March 25th, our shelter reopened. This year, even though the country is still partially shut down, we've been able to take in three new women who desperately needed help. We've put a hold on some of the other ministry. Our street ministry, our street outreach is on hold. Our other home is on hold. But our women's shelter is safe. So because they were able to come back to work March 25th, we just left it open for the women. We said, if you want to come back, you're free to come back. If you need more time at home, because the children were still not in school, we said, that's fine. We made arrangements for those who couldn't be back in Beijing. Our Beijing team, we had to provide alternate housing for them. They're still in alternate housing, but our women's shelter has been growing and thriving. And Naomi has gone from supervisor to manager. And because I'm here and they're there, they send bags to me. And because we've been able to sell bags everywhere I go, we've been able to keep salaries funded. We've been able to keep the lights on. We've been able to keep food on the table. And we've been able to keep going. In the process of trying for me to try to get back in, my lawyer discovered our business license was too small for what we're doing. And so he said, you know, why don't we just register a new business license? I said, like, I'm here, I'm not there. Don't I need to be there? And he said, no, I can do it. He's a Christian. So Samuel says, I can do it. And I said, do we need a new property? Because like I kind of need to be there to go find a new property for our new center. And he said, well, why don't we get an office? And when you get home, he said, well, let's get an office. We'll register the new business license. And when you get home, you can go property shopping. And I said, are you sure this is going to work? This sounds crazy. This is not the way I know that we do things in China. And he said, he had faith, and he said, I can do it. And so I said, okay, if you can do it, do it. We applied for the new business license. God gave me a name. I told him the name, and he said, that is, like, that's kind of a silly name. So I tried several different versions. We had to submit 5 names. And the one name that really stuck out was Jubilee. And so I tried the translated version, and he looked at me and he said, well, I don't know. And then one of my business partners, she thought she would come up with a couple extra names. Samuel threw his own name in. I said, I don't care what we call it. I'm going to call it Jubilee because I see a celebration coming. I finally decided, okay, instead of the translated version, let's register 3 characters, Jubilee. And it means a beautiful gathering. We submitted it to the government. Guess what name they chose out of our 5? Jubilee. I was in shock. But I just felt a ripple of the Holy Spirit, and I said, all right, Lord, just come on. All right. And I just a reminder from the Lord, you don't have to make it happen. Just open your hands and receive, because I'm coming. And I said, okay. All right, we receive. You know, it's so hard to not doubt when you know that God's coming. We're so used to doubt and suspicion from the world, but it's so hard not to doubt. And so easy to just receive. So we got our business license was approved the end of January. And as I'm reading the business license, and I don't know if we mentioned this ever before, but I've been in trouble in China. I've been in trouble, just a little issue. I mean, all those children came to Jesus, and, you know, it was my fault. So I was blacklisted for 5 years and in a lot of trouble and threatened and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm looking at the business license and I said, Samuel, whose name is in the middle? And he said, that's your name. I said, what? He said, I just took your American name off your passport and translated into Chinese. And I said, you used the name on my passport? And he said, yeah. And I said, this is never going to go through. I said, you know, in second thought, maybe you should use Josiah's name. Well, we applied for everything we could possibly think of. And Samuel said, let's go big because they can cancel stuff they don't like. So I said, all right, let's ask for the kitchen sink. We want to do culinary training. We want to do training in art and design. We want to do language training. We want to do this training and that training and art and music and blah, blah, blah. I just came up with a whole bunch of stuff, and we got the business license. We've been approved for everything. So we're in shock. I'm in shock. We've been approved for import, export, culinary training. I told the Lord I never want to do culinary again, and yet we're going to do it again. So I keep just trusting he's going to provide a different chef than me. But he's doing it, and yet I'm still here. And as much as I want to be home, I am trusting God's timing too. And so even though my heart is there physically, I'm here until the Lord can move me home. And in the meantime, it's been a difficult year, but God has kept opening doors here. I've joined a little team of where we, a very small little prophetic team where we pray over the pastors in China who couldn't make it to America for conferences. And we've started a little school in China online, training up Chinese. I'm so glad we're not live. No recording. So God has been amazingly faithful. And this year, despite everything gone on, God is still healing. He's still delivering. He's still saving on the other side of the world. Pastors are rising up. Young people who are not pastors are rising up. You know, young prophets are rising up, and they're not afraid to run with the gospel. They're not afraid to run across the country, and they're going for it. So that's my update. And we need your prayers. We need a lot of your prayers. I did bring bags if you're interested, but I also brought prayer cards. We need prayers. We do need finances for our new center. We need probably $120,000 for the new center. But we need prayer more than anything. And if you'd like to take one of our prayer cards, if you'd like to sponsor one of the kids or the women, that'd be awesome. If you just want to pray for them, that'd be even better. So take one of our cards and pray. And they can buy bags afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, why don't you extend your hands? Let's just pray for Cece. Father, we just thank you, God, for grace. We thank you for your anointing that is upon her life and her ministry. And Jesus, we thank you for new seasons and new times, God. We thank you, God, for just the grace of the Lord that is thrusting her and moving her into a Kairos moment, into the moment that you have ordained for her life, God. And we thank you, God, that you're doing something in the process. You're doing something in America, Father. We thank you for this time, Lord. I just pray that you would establish something here in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Bless this ministry. Bless her children, God. Bless everybody in China. Thank you, God, for the finances. Thank you for everything that they have need of. We thank you for grace. We thank you for glory. Glory to glory. Strength to strength. Mountaintop to mountaintop. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we just bless the nation of China in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So good. Why don't you, we just had church between Bethel and Cece, and but turn to your neighbor and just give them a high five. Tell them they look good. Wake them up if they need a little wake up. So good. I'm excited for what the Lord's doing. And I'm maybe some of you are wondering why there's chairs up here. I'm just messing with you. So I just want you just to feel messed with. But you can sit up here if you like. They're very comfortable. And just rearrange the furniture sometimes. It's good. It's good for you. So you can close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your anointing in this house. I thank you, God, that you've already been doing something through worship, through the words, God, through the prayers. Father, you're doing something. You're in this house. You're visiting with your people right now. And I ask, God, that you would just speak to us. I pray that you would just move in this house, God, that you would begin to roar over your people right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you into this house in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We love you. And we honor your presence. And we honor you, wonderful Jesus. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. You could turn your Bible to Daniel. I'm not going to stay there long, but I felt it was important to start there. And I had something kind of in my spirit and in my heart this week as we've been kind of moving into a new season. And the Lord brought a couple scriptures on my heart. The first one was Daniel chapter 2, and it says this. It says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. Somebody say times. Say seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. Hallelujah. That's Daniel. Daniel getting ready to bring the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Daniel about to declare a season shift for this Nebuchadnezzar, right? There was a serious season shift that was about to happen with this king. And I feel like there's something swirling in the air right now. In our spirits personally, in the church, in America, in the nation, in our state, there's something swirling and it's good. There's good momentum. There's good movement. And the Lord is just wanting to remind us that it is Him who changes the times and He changes the seasons. Amen. And times and seasons are shifting in Church of the Mountain. Yeah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's scary sometimes when you think about a time ending and a new time beginning. It can be quite scary. And I begin to think about women who are getting pregnant. I don't know anything about that. But I do know a little bit just because I've watched my wife get pregnant. And I know what the scripture says. And there's some really clear, amazing verses in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 17. It says, as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs when she draws near to the time of her delivery, right? It is the season that is shifting. So we have been in your sight, Lord. I love John 16:21. A woman has pain in childbirth because her time has come. But she brings forth her child. She forgets her anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. Think about that for a minute. A woman giving birth to a baby. It's an obvious sign of a season shift for that woman. But I want to suggest, and I want to just say over all of us, that that season shift actually happens like 9 months before. And in the first couple of months, you can't see what's going on. And I feel like for myself personally, in many seasons of my life, whether I was in a missionary or in different seasons, I've been discouraged at different points because I couldn't see it. But yet there was something so beautiful and something so supernatural that was happening in the unseen realm in my life and in my heart. And that's the exact thing of the woman. It's like she can't see it. It's there. There's this beautiful child that's being formed on the inside of her, but it hasn't, like, she's not showing yet. Nothing's out there. But the seasons have officially shifted. The winds have begun to turn and change. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I look at scripture and I just see this time and time again. I see the Lord. I see so many people pointing people's eyes up to heaven and saying something new is coming. People get ready. Jesus is coming. I love that Misty Edwards song. Come on, people get ready. Something is shifting in this environment. Look at Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. And I mean, you can go over many, many scriptures in Paul's life, but I'll give you just a couple. And Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this. He's talking to his church. Think about the church. The early church. This is this little beautiful band of disciples. Like, this wasn't the worldwide church that we know today. It was these churches that had been established by Paul, by a few others. It was a small group. And he's speaking to them. He's encouraging them that something greater is coming. I want you to get your eyes on the Lord. And I want you to be equipped because there's something new that's about to happen. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So he's saying, don't give up. Don't grow weary while doing good. Philippians 4:12-13. I love this. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Come on, I can go through 2020. I can survive. I can not just survive, but I can thrive in a pandemic. Because I've learned that my roots, as deep as my roots go, that's how high my branches go. And I just begin this season, which seemed like a crazy season, which it was, but my hands and my heart and my voice begin to get even louder to Jesus. I think that was nationwide in the church. But it says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everything, everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's teaching the church, don't give up, don't grow weary. Even though you can't see it, you're in that two-month zone. You're in the zone right now where you might not see it, but something's coming. And it might be a little painful. Look at your neighbor and say, it might be a little painful. But you're going to forget that pain as soon as that baby comes out. Galatians 6:9, he's talking to the church of Galatia. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Just a few verses from the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Come on. I love these verses because he's trying to encourage the church to not lose heart, to not give up. Why? Because Paul could see something. Paul's eyes were constantly on Christ. And he could see what was coming down the road. And although in the natural it looked like this little insignificant band of brothers and sisters, this little church that what were they going to do? Well, this small little group was going to change the world. This small little group was going to birth the Jesus movement that was going to wrap around the world seven times more, right? This was the new season that God was birthing. But sometimes the disciples, they would grow weary, they would get frustrated, they would get the Corinthians, man, they were all up in their flesh, and all these, they would go all over the place, and Paul's like, no, come back. There's a purpose, and there's a destination, there's a target, we're going to make it. Somebody say amen. A new season was coming to the early church, and a new season is coming to this church, and it's coming to the Eastern Sierras, it's coming to California, And like I said, it's scary when that season is upon you. And it's scary for the woman that's about to give birth. We've seen the movies, or maybe this happened to you. Like you're about to go into labor and the woman's like, I changed my mind. I don't want to do this right now. I'm good. Like tell the doctor next week. Just pause it. I just need to do my exercises some more. But how many know, like, once the momentum begins to go, like, there ain't no turning back. Yep. Like, you've committed to this thing. You're at the nine-month mark. Like, there's no turning back. And so they're like, I want out. Get me out of here. It's your fault, you know. You did this. You know, but there's things that I find in my life and that maybe we find in all of our lives, and I definitely find in Scripture, that will cause us to want to give up and give up on destiny. And I guess they could call this, if there's a title, I guess we could just call this pregnant with destiny. Look at your neighbor, even if it's a guy, say, you're pregnant. You're pregnant with destiny. And we have to be careful not to abort what God has given us. And do not allow circumstances and situations to abort the gift and the dream that Jesus has placed inside of you. Because it's beautiful. And the world needs it. And the church needs it. Amen. But here are a couple things that have caused me to question and have caused people in the Scriptures and maybe have caused you. And this is a big one right here. People will run in the opposite direction. They'll lose hope. They'll abort their calling because of fear. Yep. And you'll say something like this. Well, what if I'm afraid? before, as you're stepping into this thing, as you get the prophetic word, somebody calls you out, and it's this awesome mountaintop, beautiful prophetic word, and you're like, but I'm afraid. What if I'm super afraid to step in, to lean into this thing? I mean, the Bible is full of a lot of people who were afraid. I mean, from old to new, there's people that were afraid. I think of Gideon. Everybody's like, man, that was amazing warrior Gideon. Led the army. Powerful dude. And if you just read the last chapters of his life, yeah, he's a powerful dude. But the first part of his story, like, he's hiding because he's incredibly afraid of the famine, of the enemy armies. And so he's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's doing something that you're not even supposed to do. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. And so when you're full of fear, you begin to do things that don't even make sense. But even in the midst of his fear, even in the midst of his running, God shows up and says, oh, my mighty warrior, man of valor, mighty, mighty man of God. And you know, I love that God always speaks to our potential. He speaks to who we truly are, not to our current condition. Isn't that so good? And he calls him out of that mess. He calls him out of the wine press. And two chapters later, he's leading an army into battle. And it's like this incredible scene that's just like almost like an Exodus scene. It's just beautiful. I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to get through my notes. And we want to have the team back up in a few minutes. But that's a question. What if I'm afraid? I think of Moses. I love Moses. I'm just so fascinated with the story of Moses in Exodus. But just think about this moment in time where he's standing in front of the Red Sea. And all of a sudden they hear the Egyptian army behind them coming full speed. And there's no way out. And so Moses had to trust the Lord literally when there was no way out. There was no other options. There's no plan B. Like it was God or bust. There's nothing else that I got, Lord. And so you put yourself in Moses' shoes for a minute. There's like over a million people, 2 million people that are depending on him. For their safety, for their provision, for their deliverance. There's a big Red Sea in front of them. There's an army. Pharaoh's like, you're going down. I'm going to kill all of you. And he's like, I mean, you got to believe there must have been a little bit of anxiety, fear. But he's like, either I can just lean into this emotion of fear and anxiety, or I can lean into the promise. And God said, I will deliver my people. And this is incredibly scary right now. I have no solution. I have no answer, but I have a rod. Yeah. And the Lord said, you'll see great wonders with this. And so, this is kind of weird. I don't know, but here we go. And he puts it out, and the Lord splits the sea. So trust him with that little thing that you have and watch him do the miraculous. And it's just like, you know, it's the principle of learning how to do things afraid. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that says you're never going to be afraid. One day you'll arrive in Christ and you'll never be afraid of anything. That's a lie. There are things that we get nervous about. There are things. Some people are incredibly afraid of public speaking. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people, there's different things that we are naturally afraid of. It's okay. But are you going to let that dominate you, or are you going to do it afraid? Amen. I mean, think about the disciples. The disciples were super scared on the boat. They even thought Jesus was a ghost. They were like, it's a ghost. You know, they believe it's a ghost more than they believe it's Jesus. Like, whatever, disciples, I don't know. But so they're like, it's a ghost. And Peter even thinks it's a ghost. But the thing that separates Peter and the other disciples is that they stayed in this place of fear. It's a ghost. Don't do that. And he's like, no, that is Jesus. I'm locking eyes with them right now, and I'm going to just, this looks crazy. This is a safe boat, and that's water. But he's calling me, and I know those eyes. So here we go. And they stayed in the boat in their fear, and he stepped out and walked on water. And so God just has spoke that to me so many times. Just do it afraid. Don't wait for a big gift of faith, which is great if it comes and it just lands on you and you're like, man, anything's possible. But don't wait for that. I think it takes more. It's more faith to just plow in when you have a little bit of fear. Yep. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing that has kind of tried to hijack my life at times and has hijacked different people in the body of Christ. Sometimes it's been successful, sometimes not. But I pray that it would never be successful for you again. Amen. That you would know what the word of the Lord is over your life and you would know what the dream is. Like, I mean, I love Joseph. Joseph was in prison and he never let go of the dream. He never let go of the promise. Like through horrific conditions and slander, and he's being lied about, but yet he's like, I have this promise, and God is good, and he's going to get me to the palace. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I have this dream, and one day, you know, my brothers are going to bow down, and it's just, so it's got to happen. So he just rested in the word. Hallelujah. Here's the second thing that kind of prevents people from leaning into this season shift and embracing what the Lord's doing. It's, we say things like this: what if I'm stuck with yesterday's pain forever? And in life, there's trauma that happens, and in life, there's situations, and there's sickness, and there's things that happen to us that can be quite traumatic. And if you need inner healing, get some inner healing. If you need counseling, get counseling. They're powerful tools that the body of Christ has right now. But I love this scripture in the book of Mark, chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to paraphrase for lack of time. Mark, chapter 5, 27 through 34 is the woman with the issue of blood. And think about this woman. Like the Bible says specifically for 12 years. And so for 12 years, she had pain. And for 12 years, she had tears. And for 12 years, she had shame. She felt like she couldn't go into public. She couldn't do certain things that her friends and family were doing. She carried this spirit of trauma with her wherever she went. And you got to think, like, okay, wherever she went before, this thing followed her. And there was limitations to what she could and could not do because she was unclean. And so now she sees Jesus, and she could think, okay, well, what if this thing's going to stay? What if nothing works? What if I get laughed at? What if I get pushed to the side? Like, this thing was there. It was in her life for 12 years, but she made a decision. No, my yesterday's pain, my yesterday's sickness, my yesterday's trauma ends today. Amen. When I touch the hem of his garment. I don't know the whole picture. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but today he's right there and I'm reaching in and I'm going to grab the hem of his garment. And so yesterday's pain and yesterday's heartache and yesterday's divorce and yesterday's whatever it is, yesterday's broken relationship, it does not have to carry over into today. Get the healing, get the counsel, get the deliverance, get everything that you need, but then get Jesus and just move on. Give your neighbor a high five. See, that was good. Come on. It's good. We cannot be stuck in yesterday's regret anymore, in yesterday's pain, in yesterday's trauma. We need to move on because there's a fresh season that is upon us. Amen. And then the last thing, I'm trying to wrap up. The last thing would be, what if it looks different than I pictured? What if it looks different than I initially planned? And because, I mean, think about this. There's two great examples. David, King David. I love David. And David had a prophecy over his life and a word from the prophet Samuel. You're going to be king. And he anointed him. I mean, I bet it was probably heavy with the presence of God in that room. I bet it was just amazing. And he also had bragging rights. His brothers are right there. He's like, what up? Like, passed over you, got me. And so it was just this amazing moment. And he's like, okay, when's this going to happen? Is it next week? Is it in 2 months? Like, but it took a long time. Years. And he didn't realize it in that moment as Samuel laid hands on him and anointed him and brought out the ram's horn, poured oil all over him. Boom, just saturated him in God. And he didn't realize that there was going to be a crazy demon-possessed king that was chasing him around trying to kill him. Saul was so full of jealousy that he was chasing David down, trying to kill him constantly. He didn't realize that all the things that were going to have to transpire and take place, that his village would be burned down, that his family would be kidnapped, and all these things that happened. He didn't have that in the prophetic word. And praise God. You know, I'm so happy that we don't get all the details sometimes when we get a prophetic word. We get the mountain. And that's what God wants you. He wants you to keep your eyes on the mountaintop. And you're going to walk through a valley. You're going to walk through process, but you keep your heart attached to the word. And you do not allow yourself to grow weary while doing good. You keep looking to him and you have a word. You have a promise. I know where I'm going. I have a compass. Oh, there's a roadblock, so I'm going this way. I have a compass, and it's the word of God. Come on. And then think about Sarah. And you guys can, the worship team, you can come up here. I'm going to give you a couple more verses, everybody, but just so you guys can get ready. And we're going to sing something in just a second. But I love Abraham and Sarah. There was a word over Sarah's life that she was going to be, there was a word over Abraham's life. He was going to be father of many nations, right? But Sarah didn't realize that this was going to happen when she was 100 years, almost 100 years old. She's like, this was not a part of my birth plan. When I was writing it out and when I was thinking about having little babies, I was not planning on being almost 100 years old when I give birth to my promise. Like, this was not her plan. And in fact, it was so much not a part of her plan that she tried to get somebody else to do it. And the Lord says, no, I can't birth your destiny through another person. And I cannot birth the promise that I've given to you and to Abraham through another individual. And so Ishmael is born into the earth. God bless Ishmael. The Lord loves Ishmael. But there's something so beautiful about Isaac, because it was the promise. And the Lord said, I will cause you to give birth to a son. And they waited 24 years to give birth. And they did not allow their hearts to grow weary. They did not give up. But they allowed the Lord to bring it to fruition. I feel like the Lord wants you to know that today, that he's not going to put your word in somebody else. He's not going to place your promise on another individual. And I feel like the Lord is saying today, trust me. Trust me that I am the Lord that changes the times and the seasons. I am the God that pulls down kings and raises up kings. Trust me. I could take you to so many seasons in my life, being on the backside of India, the backside of Mongolia, Africa, feeling totally over my head. Scared out of my mind as people are coming from all directions to get healing, to get a touch. And I feel like I'm totally unqualified. And all I hear in my spirit is, trust me. Trust me. I get married. I have children. I'm like, God, Again, I'm way over my head. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, trust me. Trust me. And lean into the promise. Lean into the dreams that I've given you. Lean into the words that have been spoken over your life. Trust me. And do not allow your heart to grow cold. Do not allow your heart to grow weary. Do not allow your heart to give up in this season, because He is changing things. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody needs to hear that again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just close your eyes with me. Put your hands out. The Lord is breathing in this house, and the winds are changing in your life right now. The winds are changing in your life. The seasons are shifting right now. And the Lord wants to remind you of the promise. He wants to remind you of the dream. There's some right now in this room, you have already left the dream. You feel like, no, I've aborted that long ago. There's no way I'm going to pick that back up. But God says, pick it back up. Trust me one more time. Look to me one more time. Lock eyes with me one more time. I just feel like this is for people in the room right now. You've let go of your dream. You've let go of the promise of God in your life. And so I just want you, if you resonate with that, you need just dreams to come alive again. You need God to blow on these things. I just want you to stand to your feet. I'm just going to allow the team just to worship over you and sing. And I believe as we begin to minister to the Lord, as we begin to sing, I feel like something is shifting in this atmosphere. Something's shifting in your heart. Whew. So Lord, we just say, do it. Do what only you can do right now. I thank you, God, for resurrection power. I thank you for dreams coming alive in marriages, in families, in homes, in hearts, in this church. And we just give you glory and praise. And so let's just lock eyes with Him. Let's just worship, focus on Him for a few minutes. The Lord is really ministering to some people right now. Let the Holy Spirit just do His thing. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to minister to hearts like only you can right now. Just move in this place right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Shh. Hallelujah.
I was praying before worship. They were playing this song, and God gave me this word for all of you, and it's from His heart to you as His children. He says, even though you walk through the dark valleys of the shadows of death, yea, I say, my children, fear no evil, for I am with you. I am with you in faithfulness and truth, in spirit and life, in healing and goodness, in my spirit and my presence. So fear not, my children. March in faith and live in my ways. Holiness is my face. Grace is my gift. Reside in my presence. It is my residence. The shelter of my wings is where my feathers shield. I am the Lord God Almighty. Am I yours? You are my treasure, the creation of my heart, the destiny of my plans, the searchlight of the world. Fear not, my children, though tempest and waves do their tossing, and the voice of the enemy seems large. Fear not, my children. Live in my word, in the rank and file of those who have gone before, those who have marched in my faith and stepped in my stead. There are angels singing choirs of praise, rejoicing in your name, and protecting destiny and testimonies. Do you not know, my children, that your stories drip like golden honey before me and water the heavens and earth with my love that transforms peoples and nations? So fear not, my children. I am for you, petitioning the Father on your behalf. Now go in my name and fulfill my plans that are far above the plans of man and far above the plans of circumstances that don't line up. For I lead you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake and for the sake of those around you, both far and near, from region to nation, from plains to the sea, from mountains to the valleys, and from the broken to their healing. For my children, in that I came, in that I live, and in that my glory reigns. So go now in my anointing and heal the peoples and the nations.
Come on, that's so good. Just close your eyes. And just put your hand on your heart. We all come to church with stuff. There's somebody in this room right now, and there's some tension in your marriage. There's somebody battling with depression. There's somebody that's been waiting for their miracle. And it feels like this valley, this horrific season. But I want you to allow the words of this song to penetrate your heart. The chorus, just one more time. Because the Lord is with you. And He's setting a table for you in the presence of your enemies. A feast, intimacy with the King of Kings. So whatever your situation is, just allow the revelation of Psalm 23 to break that and to speak truth into your heart. So let's just sing this chorus one more time. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God, I thank you that you're with us today. You're with us tomorrow. And I thank you, Lord, that you're changing the times and the seasons. And even if we feel scared, Lord, we can move on with you. Even if there's been pain in our past, we can move on with you. Even if it doesn't look like what we pictured it to look like, God, we can trust in you. And so I just pray you would seal this word on all of our hearts. I pray your protection and your blessing and your favor upon every person in this room. Remind every individual of the promise of words that have been forgotten. And remind them most of all how good you are. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so perfect, Jesus. You're the Savior of the world. We worship you. We love you. And everybody in the house said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wasn't that so good? Love you, worship team. Let's give a hand clap to the worship team. Let's give a bigger hand clap to Jesus. Come on. Awesome. They're just going to kind of play for a few minutes. Why don't you just turn to somebody next to you, ask them if they need any prayer. Ask them if they know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, lead them to the Lord. If they need some prayer, just pray over them real quick. God bless you.
My floor, Tom?
That was your Tom 4.
Oh, Tom 4. Oh, really? Wow.